This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And today, we're going to blast off to Mars. That's right, there's an astounding new probe that's being readied by NASA. And we're going to put a helicopter, get this, a helicopter on another celestial body in the heavens. With us today is Professor Jim Bell of Arizona State University. He's the president of the Planetary Society and the author of a number of great books, including The Hubble Legacy, 30 Years of Discovery and Images, and The Ultimate Interplanetary Travel Guide, A Futuristic Journey Through the Cosmos. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have about 3 million fans on Facebook. And I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest New York Times bestseller that I've written is called The Future of Humanity, talking about the possibility of one day, perhaps, terraforming Mars, mining the asteroid belt, and who knows, maybe one day even leaving the solar system. But today, let's focus on the Moon, Mars, and beyond with Professor Jim Bell of Arizona State University, President of the Planetary Society, as we explore the universe. So, Jim, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. It's great. It's just such an exciting time in space exploration, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, let me ask you a question about your youth. When you were a kid, what first steered you in the direction of science and then astronomy?
Oh, it's a great question. Really kind of two things. I grew up in the northeast of the U.S. in a relatively rural place that I was fortunate to have pretty dark skies on clear nights, and my family bought me a telescope, small telescope, so I was able to see the cosmos myself, and with some other nerdy friends in school, where we were able to watch the planets and the moon and comets and nebulae and just really experience the wonders of the universe, through my own eyes. And as a kid, that was just hugely inspirational and exciting, and asking all the questions that we do about what's going on out there. That was one thing. And the second thing, and this is pretty common among many of my colleagues in my generation, I'm kind of a middle-aged guy. Maybe it's common for you too. I was inspired by Carl Sagan and his 1980 show Cosmos, which you may remember. Back in 1980, there was very little science on television. There were only three major networks, and PBS was it. And here comes this guy with a distinctive guttural New York accent and a tweed jacket. His professors talking about space and astronomy and the planets, and he wasn't using jargon and lingo. He was talking like plain English, and I could understand it. And Sagan was a visionary, and was hugely inspirational to me as a young person, and many others in my generation.
Okay, and now you are president of the Planetary Society. So tell us a little bit about what is the Planetary Society.
Yeah, and that's kind of right ironic, because the Planetary Society was founded in 1980 by Carl Sagan and Bruce Murray and Lou Friedman as a response to proposed enormous government funding cuts for space exploration. And so it, we've been around for that entire time, 40-year anniversary this year of the Planetary Society. It's the world's largest. Yeah, thanks. It's the world's largest public space advocacy and education organization, membership organization. We've got more than 50,000 people in many, many countries around the world, and we focus on, you know, getting people involved, making people around the world feel like and actually be part of exploring our solar system and beyond. So we work on education, we work on advocacy. We work on projects. It's just a great organization, and hopefully you've got a bunch of members out there who are listeners, and a lot of listeners who might want to become members. It's a great organization.
And speaking about exploring the cosmos, let's just say a few things about the moon. I understand that there's going to be a new drive to put humans back on the moon. We have Elon Musk of SpaceX. He's readying his version, the Falcon Heavy. We have NASA itself with the SLS booster rocket capable of going to the moon. Not to be outdone, we have Jeff Bezos of Amazon with his new Armstrong rocket, apparently capable of also going to the moon. And not to be left out, the Chinese have the Long March rocket, and they want to put their flag on the moon as well.
Right.
So do you think, therefore, that we could be entering a new era where it's actually now fashionable to go back into outer space?
Well, I don't know about fashionable, but certainly becoming more practical and more affordable, right? Especially with more of these entrepreneurial so-called new space companies getting involved in building rockets and the, you know, the amazing things that are happening with SpaceX and Blue Origin in terms of their launch vehicles and many others. So, you know, access to low Earth orbit and near Earth space, including the lunar environment, is you know, becoming easier. It's never going to be easy, right? It's never going to be easy to get in a rocket and go anywhere, but it's becoming easier and less expensive, and that opens up more opportunities for exploration, more opportunities for commercial development, etc. And you know, the moon is our testing ground for deeper space operations. You know, everybody's, you know, understands that the next goal, the next big goal for NASA astronauts is to go to Mars. Astronauts around the world and other space agencies as well. The first people to Mars coming up in our lifetimes, maybe within 10 or 20 years. And here we have the moon, and, you know, we went to the moon in the 60s with the Apollo program, and we lost that capability with the loss of the Saturn V, the shutdown of that program. And so that, a lot of that's getting rebuilt, and it's a great place to practice deep space travel, deep space operations, relatively close to home, so safer than going out to Mars or asteroids. And it's also, there's some great science to do at the moon. The Apollo astronauts started that process, and learning about the moon teaches us about the origin of the Earth and the Earth-Moon system and other planets in our solar system. So it's a combination of just all kinds of factors, that the technology, the more affordability, and the scientific goals that are pushing us to the moon and then on to Mars and beyond.
Well, you mentioned affordability, and back in 1966, I still remember that the Apollo budget to send us to the moon consumed 5% of the entire federal budget. Think about that. 5 cents of every dollar you paid in income tax went to the Apollo space program. And that was unsustainable. I mean, it cost $10,000 to put a pound of anything into near-Earth orbit. It cost about $100,000 to put a pound of anything on the moon. And it was unsustainable. But now we have reusable rockets, compliments of Elon Musk and SpaceX. Some people think, therefore, that could really open up the heavens if the cost of booster rockets continues to drop, especially if they're reusable. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, it's on to Mars with the Perseverance Mars rover. Once again, our special guest today is Jim Bell, president of the Planetary Society. You are listening to Science Fantastic, and give us a call if you want to get on the air. The number to call is 612-564-8135.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And once again, if you want to ask a question and get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic, the number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters at the station, or website that you're calling from, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on national radio. Well, once again, our special guest today is Professor Jim Bell of Arizona State University. He's the president of the Planetary Society, author of a number of great books, including The Hubble Legacy, 30 Years of Discovery and Images, and we're talking about Mars. So tell us a little bit about Mars Perseverance. I understand that NASA wants to put a helicopter on Mars. That would be a game changer, right?
Yeah.
Being able to roam over the surface of Mars like a helicopter. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, so Perseverance is NASA's next Mars rover. It's going to launch next month to Mars. We'll land in February at a place called Jezero Crater, which is a big hole in the ground with a spectacular river delta that flows into it. So it was a place where there was a long lived lake environment early in the history of Mars. Pretty spectacular place to explore. And we'll be looking for, you know, signs of evidence of ancient life on Mars that might be preserved in that rock record. And we'll be collecting samples with the Perseverance rover through a coring drill make cores of rock samples and scoop up soil samples, put them in these little containers that are about the size of a cigar tube, up to 40 or so of them, and put them on the surface for a future mission to Mars to return them to the Earth. So it's the first part of Mars sample return. Pretty exciting. The rover is made out of 90% spare parts from the Curiosity rover that's on Mars right now, that's been on Mars since 2012, operating great. And that was to save money, to keep the costs as low as possible. But lots of different components and instruments on this rover compared to Curiosity because of that sample return goal. And there's a couple of tech demos on the rover. One is the helicopter that you mentioned. It's about a 4-pound solar-powered drone, basically, with a double rotor blade system that the blades are about 4 feet across. So it's a pretty good-sized drone. And the idea is just to do some test flights. There's a camera on the drone, and the rover will drop off the helicopter, back away, and then the helicopter will do a series of test flights to demonstrate powered flight in the Martian atmosphere and take some pictures, et cetera. It's not going to be really used as a guide or a scout for the rover, because it really has a very limited lifetime, because this is the first test. But you're right, if it works really well and they can, you know, validate the engineering behind it, then this kind of technology could be on future missions to Mars or other places. In fact, there's NASA picked a quadcopter to go to Saturn's moon Titan later in the 2020s. So this kind of technology is going to be more and more common in planetary atmospheric exploration.
Now, the atmospheric density of Mars is only 1% that of the Earth, and helicopters, of course, require a lot of atmospheric density in order to get off the ground. So wasn't it an engineering challenge to be able to create and engineer a helicopter that could work in such a thin atmosphere, almost a vacuum?
Not really, actually. I mean, of course it's an engineering challenge to build anything to go into space, but the gravity is lower, so that helps. And the helicopter is very light. It's only about 4 pounds. So, you know, while it's not going to be possible to fly helicopters that can carry people, like on the Earth, because the atmosphere isn't thick enough, it is possible to launch small drones, to fly small aircraft, drone kind of aircraft that are light and with a good wingspan. So partly the reason the blades are 4 feet across is because the atmosphere is so thin. But it's very light, and they've actually demonstrated this in very large vacuum chambers on the Earth, pumping them down to the pressures of the Martian atmosphere and demonstrating that the helicopter should fly just fine.
Okay, and also you mentioned the fact that it's going to be collecting rocks for eventual rock retrieval. In other words, rocks from Mars will eventually come back to the planet Earth. Now, some people say, well, what's the big deal? Because meteors from Mars have actually landed on the Earth in the past. So could you elaborate, how is it that we know that Mars rocks in the form of meteors were blasted out of Mars and actually landed on the Earth?
Yeah, there's something like 50 or so samples that have been found, many on the ice in Antarctica of Mars rocks on the Earth, just like there are rocks from the moon on the Earth. You know, an asteroid or comet smashes into a planet like Mars or a planet like the moon and throws up a bunch of debris, and some of that finds its way to the Earth. And we know that those particular samples are from Mars because some of them have trapped atmospheric bubbles in them that match the atmosphere of Mars. What we don't know is, where are they from? So we don't have any context, the geologic context, where, what kind of environment were they in, et cetera. They're kind of random samples, not even from the surface in most cases, but from dug up from deep in the subsurface by the impact event. So we want samples that are well chosen by geologists and others through the rover of surface areas where we believe that water has flowed for long periods of time, sediments have been transported, maybe evidence of past biologic activity has been preserved in the chemistry, in the mineralogy, maybe even fossils, extremely low probability. We don't really believe that we'll find fossils. I mean, when you look at ancient rocks on the Earth that are 3-4 billion years old, this is well before organisms were forming fossils or forming hard shells on the Earth. So the evidence for early life on Earth is chemical, textural, mineralogic, isotopic. And we expect that that might be the same case on Mars. So that's partly why we need to bring those samples back to really want to study them in detail in the best laboratories on the Earth, because we can't transport those amazingly detailed, precise lab instruments, some of which are the size of, you know, entire rooms. We can't get those to places like Mars yet, so we need to bring the samples back.
Now, some astronomers have speculated that our solar system is sort of like a gigantic ping-pong game, because asteroids plow into Mars and blow rocks into space containing maybe DNA, who knows for sure. These rocks then land on the Earth. And therefore, we should also have Venusian meteors, lunar meteors, as well as Martian meteors. And they, in turn, probably had Earth rocks that landed on their terrain as well. And so some people have speculated that there could be a ping-pong game between Mars, Earth, Venus, and the Moon, sharing different rock samples, of which maybe DNA is a component. But this is a theory, of course. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a hypothesis that's very, very difficult to test. Can life or complex organic molecules even survive those kinds of impact processes? Yeah, some scientists think so. Others think not. There are experiments that are going on trying to look at the viability of terrestrial kinds of organic molecules under, you know, typical impact conditions. But you're right, and this idea goes back, you know, a century, the idea of panspermia, that the cosmos is seeded with life. It doesn't really solve the problem of where did life come from, right? I mean, if Earth life came from Mars, for example, where did Mars life come from? Well, maybe it came from somewhere else. Well, where did that life come from? You know, so we're still driven to try to find the answer, you know, how did it all start, as well as are we alone?
Now, journalists obey the rule, follow the money. And astronomers apparently follow the rule, follow the water. And I understand that, well, most water on Mars is frozen. It's a very cold, frozen desert. However, underneath the ice caps, there's speculation that there could be liquid water lakes. So could you elaborate on the possibility that perhaps below the surface there could be deposits of liquid water?
Yes, extremely likely. Mars is a terrestrial planet like the Earth, though smaller. So it gets warm as you go down because of internal heat sources. The core it may not be molten anymore because the planet doesn't have a magnetic field, but it was molten early in the planet's history and it's still cooling.
Let's take another short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue the discussion of exploring the solar system. Once again, Jim Bell is president of the Planetary Society. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station or the website, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
With major coronavirus spikes in Florida and Texas, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has now ordered all the bars in his state, as well as Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, ordering his bars closed for the second time with a record resurgence in new coronavirus cases following reopenings last month. In addition to the bar closures, Abbott, a Republican, said that restaurants will be required to back up to 50% capacity, and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick talks about the step back.
Our people of Texas Texas, they expect us to protect their life and also to protect their liberty, protect their freedom, and protect their businesses and their jobs. And that's a tough balancing act, and that takes calm leadership that's optimistic, that's based on data, and moving forward. So we're still moving forward with a slight pause. We were ahead of everyone else, and we're going to watch these numbers. But going back to a lockdown, that would have to be something catastrophic, and we don't see that in the future.
This is USA Radio News. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed into law a landmark hate crimes bill passed by state legislature earlier this week. The new law mandates enhanced sentencing for defendants convicted of targeting a victim because of their actual or perceived race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender, mental disability, or physical disability. This would mean additional prison time or fines on top of sentences for the type of crime for which the defendant was convicted, such as assault, manslaughter, or murder. A federal appeals court ruled that the Trump administration acted unlawfully when it transferred $2.5 billion in military construction projects to build parts of the wall at the southern border, a blow to the administration's efforts to fulfill President Trump's signature 2016 campaign promise. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled 2-1 that the administration illegally went around Congress in reappropriating the funds. It ruled on a suit brought by a coalition of border states, including California and other environmental groups. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And this hour, we're getting ready to go back to the planet Mars with the Mars Perseverance probe ready to go. It will have rock retrieval capabilities and a helicopter that could zoom over the surface of Mars. Now, Mars is still a mystery. There's so many things we don't know about the planet. For example, methane. Methane gas is found in your kitchen. It's a byproduct of decaying organic materials as well as chemical processes. But methane deposits have been found on Mars, and we are clueless to understand where they come from. So could you elaborate about the mystery of where is the methane coming from?
Well, first of all, it's a hypothesis that methane is on Mars. It's not been proven. There's extremely tiny, tiny amounts that have been detected in some measurements and not detected in other measurements. So it's really an enigma, and the scientific community that studies the Martian atmosphere and the Martian environment is in the middle of a really kind of a debate about whether the measurements are valid, or whether we're seeing, for example, contamination from the rover on the ground making the measurement, whether we're just seeing uncertainty in the measurements, or whether we are actually detecting methane, but tiny, you know, parts per billion amounts, really tiny amounts. And the European orbiter, which got to Mars recently, called the Trace Gas Orbiter from the European Space Agency, has a very sensitive instrument that's designed to detect methane in small amounts on Mars, and they haven't detected any. So lots of conflicting data. This is a great example of, you know, the scientific community is in the middle of a big forensic mystery. Some evidence this way, some evidence that way, and you know, like forensics, it's going to take more clues, more evidence to tip the scales and the hypotheses one way or the other. So I wouldn't phrase it as strongly as you did.
And also, when you look at photographs of the surface of Mars, you see the remnants of what looks like to be riverbeds, seas. Some people even think that maybe there was an ocean the size of the United States once upon a time on Mars, but they're all gone. So here's the question, what happened to all the water on Mars?
Yeah, you're right. This is, you know, one of the most amazing discoveries of the last few decades of Mars exploration is all that evidence that Mars was much more like the Earth early in its history. A thicker atmosphere, warmer temperatures, liquid water flowing on the surface, rivers, lakes, gullies, etc. You know, where did it all go? Well, NASA and other space agencies are trying to figure that out. The leading hypothesis is that early in the history of Mars, when the core was molten and the planet had a magnetic field and a thicker atmosphere, it was protected from the constant barrage of high-energy particles from the solar wind, which can sort of slowly, like billiard balls, blast the atmosphere away over time. But the magnetic field protects a planet from that process. The Earth's magnetic field protects our atmosphere from much of that process. And then when the core of Mars cooled, because it's a smaller planet, so the core cools faster than the Earth's core, and that magnetic field got shut off, then all of a sudden, you know, 2-3 billion years ago, the solar wind can directly impact the upper atmosphere and drive off those molecules and break down those molecules. And it's a slow process, but it's had billions of years. And over time, the atmosphere gets thinner and thinner and thinner. And
okay, Jim, we have to take yet another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of exploring the solar system and mining the asteroid belt. Is that a possibility? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call to get on Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112.
That's 800-486-8112.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Professor Jim Bell of Arizona State University. He's the president of the Planetary Society and the author of a number of great books, including The Hubble Legacy, 30 Years of Discovery and Images. And so we're talking about exploring the solar system. And, of course, one possibility that people have looked at over the last several centuries is the possibility of life on Mars. In fact, Carl Sagan, when he was a teenager, used to read the John Carter of Mars fiction, science fiction, and he was hooked. He thought that maybe one day he or his descendants would be able to roam over the sands of Mars and chase after Deja Thoris. Well, we have now doubts about all that. But, well, what are your thoughts? Any possibility that life could thrive on Mars or maybe in the past? Or is it simply a science fiction and fantasy?
Yeah, I mean, Mars is the most Earth-like place in our solar system besides the Earth itself. And so it's been a focus of you know, speculation in science fiction and science itself in terms of life. And, you know, what we've learned in the past 50 years of exploring Mars with robotic probes is that the surface itself is an extremely harsh environment today, much, much colder, much thinner atmosphere, no protective ozone layer. So lots of harsh ultraviolet radiation hitting the surface. So very, very a dangerous and inhospitable environment for life as we know it, including people someday when we go there. We're going to have to protect ourselves against all of these things. But two things. One, if you go back in time, turn the clock back to when Mars had that thicker atmosphere, when it was much more Earth-like, although never really like the Earth, but much more Earth-like, then it was a habitable environment. There's water flowing on the surface, organic molecules, heat sources from volcanoes, impacts, and geothermal. These are what, you know, we need for life to have existed and thrived on the Earth. So the conditions were right, and that's why we go look at those ancient places like where the Perseverance rover is going. And secondly, if you just go down into the subsurface today, deep into the subsurface, maybe meters, tens of meters, kilometers, you protect yourself from the ultraviolet radiation. It gets warmer as you go down, and much of that ice that we see all over the planet in the near surface and on the surface could be melted, and there could be aquifers and underground water, which would be great environments for life on Mars even today. Simple life, microbial life. There's enormous volume terms of microbial life on the earth in the subsurface in those kinds of places. And what we've learned is it's not crazy to speculate that life could exist on Mars in those kinds of environments even today.
Okay, and also terraforming Mars has been a goal of the Mars Society, for example, and we've had them on the show. Even Elon Musk speculated that what happens if you detonate a few hydrogen bombs on the polar ice caps, you could melt the polar ice caps and water would flow on the surface of Mars again. Well, of course, the water would be radioactive, and I'm not sure you would want to drink it. Other people have proposed that far in the future, maybe solar satellites can melt the ice by beaming sunlight to the polar ice caps, thickening the atmosphere, allowing water to flow freely as a liquid on the surface of Mars. But, of course, all this is pure speculation. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I tend to be a pragmatist. While it's fun to speculate about the future, topics like terraforming are, you know, while possible and imaginable to do planetary scale engineering like that, they're in the far future. They're centuries to millennia in the future to turn an entire planetary environment in like Mars into a more hospitable Earth-like environment. So I think, but in order to do that, we're going to have to go. We're really going to have to understand the environment that is there on the planet today. We're going to have to understand the potential resources that are there on Mars, how much water is trapped in the subsurface, how easy is it to extract oxygen from the atmosphere. What is the inventory of organic molecules on that planet? And we're starting that process with robotic probes, and it's going to take people to really get the answers in decades ahead.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. You are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Okaku. After the break, let's go on to the asteroid belt and beyond. Is it possible to mine the asteroids? Is there another gold rush out there in outer space? And again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. And maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah. Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product.
Within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Professor Jim Bell, President of the Planetary Society and a professor at Arizona State University. And we're talking about exploring the solar system. Now, we mentioned before that billionaires are opening up their checkbooks and helping to sponsor some of these fantastic devices through SpaceX and Blue Origins. However, Google billionaires also want to jump in the game, and Google billionaires have been sponsoring the idea of mining the asteroid belt. Now, remember that when Thomas Jefferson, years ago, signed the Louisiana Purchase, he speculated that it would take 1,000 years to colonize the Louisiana Purchase. However, what happened? Gold. Gold was discovered in California, and bingo, all of a sudden the West was colonized within less than 100 years. And so some people think there could be another gold mine out there. Platinum-based metals, rare earth metals, could be mined. And NASA at one point even had a mission to retrieve an asteroid. But, well, what do you think about mining the asteroid belt and letting that pay for the bills?
Again, my thoughts are much more pragmatic than kind of, you know, futuristic thinking about precious metal mining. These objects have very little gravity, so mining as we understand it really won't work, and so an entire new technology is going to have to get built, and that's going to take time. But while precious metals will be interesting at some point in the far future, I believe that the reason to extract resources from asteroids or other places in space is for use in space at those places and not really to bring that stuff back to the Earth. For example, the gold of the solar system is not going to be gold or platinum or other precious elements in the near future. It's going to be water ice. Water ice is, you know, you can extract oxygen for us to breathe. You can extract hydrogen and oxygen to use as rocket fuel. You can use it as a shield against radioactivity. Enormous numbers of uses and practical uses for humans out there in the solar system. So I think looking for water on asteroids or water in the polar craters of the moon, places like that, water in the subsurface of Mars, that's the prospecting and mining activity that's going to dominate the next many decades and near future of exploring space and sending people into space.
Now, moving on, we have the moons of Jupiter and Saturn. Titan is an intriguing moon because it seems to have an atmosphere and possibly methane and ethane. And some people have speculated, and this is speculation, that in the future we'll use Titan as a gas station. We'll load up on methane by landing on Titan. Of course, you also need an oxidizer because you have to have a chemical reaction to stimulate it. But what are your thoughts about exploring the moons of Jupiter and Saturn?
Yeah, I mean, they're fascinating worlds out there, planets in their own right. Europa, the moon of Jupiter, has an enormous subsurface ocean that has more volume than all the oceans on the Earth, for example. Titan, it's known to have ethane, methane, propane in its atmosphere. It's not hypothesized. It's known. It's been measured. We've sent probes to the surface to measure it directly. So it's very much like what the early Earth's atmosphere was like before. before oxygen took over and completely changed the nature of our atmosphere and of life on our planet. So lots of great science reasons to go out there, but also great astrobiology reasons to understand the early history of the evolution of terrestrial worlds like those cold terrestrial worlds. But certainly planets in their own right with cores, mantles, crusts, interesting geologic histories, and in the case of Titan, the thickest atmosphere of any moon in the solar system, 1.5 times thicker than Earth's atmosphere. So, yeah, fascinating worlds, tough to get to, takes a long time. They're harsh environments, the radiation around Jupiter, for example, extremely harsh environment, so lots of technical and engineering problems, but also they are just, those places are calling to us to understand the history of life and places that could still harbor life in our solar system.
Well, what's also the progress of a NASA probe to Europa to send a submarine under the ice cover into the liquid water ocean of a moon of Jupiter? How's that coming along? I understand that at one point it was canceled and then delayed.
Well, it's never been. Yeah, it never officially has been started. It's all speculation and laboratory studies right now. What is happening is a mission will be launched called Europa Clipper. Will be launched later this decade to orbit Jupiter and fly by very close by Europa many, many times and map the surface at high resolution. We don't have a high resolution map of its surface, so we really don't know where to land a lander to drill into that ice. So the first thing that has to happen this decade is building up that detailed map of the geology and understanding the history of Europa and then figure out where to land. And then maybe in the 2030s, we'll send a lander, really get down onto the surface, characterize that environment well, figure out how hard or easy is it really to drill into that ice. And the idea of a submarine or other submersible, I think, is many, many decades ahead. Certainly nothing official has been started.
Now, some scientists have speculated, and this, of course, is pure speculation, that because the moons of Jupiter and Saturn are more plentiful than Mars and Earth, that throughout the galaxy, perhaps, and this is, of course, a big perhaps, aquatic life forms are more common than terrestrial life forms, and perhaps we are therefore, we're the oddballs, we're the minority, that most of the universe, if there is life, is aquatic. Well, unfortunately, we have to end on that note.
Let's go find out.
Yeah. Once again, our special guest today has been Professor Jim Bell, President of the Planetary Society, professor at Arizona State University, author of The Hubble Legacy and The Ultimate Interplanetary Travel Guide. And you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call and you can get on 100 radio stations that carry the show. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters at the radio station or the website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and then ask away. Ask that question that you've always wanted to ask to a scientist. Good day.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.